Good evening. Come on in to Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church. Our Monday Manna Bible study is getting ready to start. All we're missing is YOU.
Well, we hope and pray everyone has had a blessed day today. Of course, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Started out a little wet this morning, cleared up a little bit, and the rain came back down. But as we always say, we need the sunshine and the rain, and we thank God for His Spirit's abiding presence. And we know that the rain as well as the sunshine, they are very much a part of what's needed in the spiritual as well as in the natural in order for us to be complete, in order for us to be developed, in order for God to get out of us what He's trying to get done in us and for us to mature. Many times we don't want the rain in our lives, Lady Kim, or the thunder. I know you had to get up early this morning. We have a thunder cat dog. I don't know what it is.
Dog. Yeah. What is that?
She's all over the place when it starts to thunder and lightning. She goes into this thing. And so we're yet praying. Well, I don't know what it's called. I'm just saying that's what happens, mm-hmm. you know. And so I don't know what the actual terminology is for it, but we know that she's very anxious when it starts thundering and lightning. All right, but we're in chapters 19 and 20 tonight of Joshua, and there's a lot for us to cover. And so we're going to jump right in and get started here tonight. But let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for our time together tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We do thank you for this day. We pray to the Lord that even as we've gone through a busy day already, that you will settle us and center us and allow us to hear your voice even as we prepare for this time together. We know that our faith is going to increase because we dare to hear the word of God. You say faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. And James reminds us not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers as well. So we pray now to the Lord for what we're about to share. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you. And we do thank you for being our God. Mm-hmm. Now bless our efforts together tonight. Bless each person on this virtual Bible study, those who will hear it later. And we pray that they will be blessed as a result of taking time out to be with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And praise God.
Amen.
All right. We're in the 19th chapter of Joshua and the 20th chapter. I believe in that 19th chapter, there are quite a few verses, but we'll see a lot of it has to do with some of the assignments that were given out last week, Lady Kim, as we looked at the parceling out, they are separating, they are distributing the land as they move into the promised land. They're there, and now they are making the necessary assignments to the 12 tribes. And so the tribes are getting their place and they're getting settled, and they have received their territory, with the exception of a couple of things we're going to see happening here tonight. And so, but before we go into that, just share with us a little bit about what happened yesterday in the worship experience.
Yesterday you continued, it was kind of a continuation from Resurrection Sunday. You know, you talked about how to live through a bad day and keep on winning.
Okay.
You came from Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 21, where it talked about two men were traveling on the road to Emmaus,
mm-hmm.
and as they traveled to Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking about the things that had happened prior to that. That when I say talking about what happened, the crucifixion.
Okay,
talking about the crucifixion and what happened, and then Jesus came up to them as they were walking along the road, but they didn't even recognize who Jesus was. The Bible says that their eyes were restrained,
mm-hmm.
or they didn't recognize him. I don't know why they didn't recognize him. Like you said, maybe it was because of the events that had happened. And when Jesus approached him, he said, "You know what y'all talking about?"
Right.
You know, and he said, Cleophas answered him and said, are you a stranger in this town? Everybody's talking. Everybody knows about what happens. You must be the only one who doesn't know. And he said, what things? And so they were talking. They told him about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet in deed and in word, and, you know, prophesied to all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers had condemned him to death and had crucified him. And they were hoping that he was going to be the redeemer of Israel. They just didn't recognize who he was. And I think you got to one of your points on yesterday.
Well, they were all inclusive, so I didn't just list them out as individual points, okay. But they were all inclusive in the message. And I saw the time was really kind of restrictive, so I went ahead and just allowed all of those to be a part. But as you said, on this road to Emmaus, it was really a difficult time for these two men who were walking. And their eyes were, as you said, they're restrained. And many times, I think, Lady Kim, for us, as we indicated on yesterday, we can be having the worst day of our lives, and sometimes bad situations occur to all of us. But many times we get so consumed with what we're going through till we fail to see God in the midst of what we're trying to accomplish. And even though we call on him all the time, even though we pray that God will give us what we need in our hour of need, many times he's right there with us and we don't even recognize him, because our eyes too can be restrained, mm-hmm. by all of the circumstances, mm-hmm. and the situations in the natural that, mm-hmm. we find ourselves going through. And I think these disciples, I think one of those verses said that they were sad, their countenance was sad. Mm-hmm. And it's a clear indication that they were struggling over the events that had happened, not just that Resurrection Sunday, because this was the eve of that, but that whole weekend, the Good Friday. And that was a lot, of no doubt, for them to try to consume and try to deal with and try to make sense of everything that had happened. And they were looking for Jesus to do one thing in terms of restoring Israel and redeeming them, but Jesus had something altogether different in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They just didn't understand, what to make of it. Mm-hmm. And like you said, sometimes people say you can't see the forest for the trees.
Okay.
You can't enjoy the beauty of the forest because you see so many trees before you. And that's how they were.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't see Jesus because of the trauma that they had gone through of the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why their eyes were restrained. They didn't recognize him. They didn't even expect that would be Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We're not looking for it. Didn't anticipate that to be the case. And even though, as we said, we go through our spiritual disciplines, and but it's something about a traumatic experience for all of us that have us focusing on that, particularly when a death comes, or we know that God is who he say he is. But these early believers were really struggling because they had talked about the resurrection, and they had talked about all of the things that Jesus had said during his ministry. But when it came time for them to actually put it to, in focus, they were really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to take anything away from what we believe and what we say we believe in our prayer life and all of that, but many times it's a reactive situation more so than it is a time where we get a chance to think and ponder and wonder. But Jesus came up on them all of a sudden, and so they were reacting to how they felt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so a part of what those points, as you were indicating, they were all kind of tied up into one. I dealt with that whole forgiveness piece, and that's one of the issues that really, in my opinion, hinders, keeps our eyes
restrained,
uh-huh.
blocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. from really getting a chance to see, mm-hmm. because the enemy wants to keep us at a point of not being able to see clearly. He wants our eyes to be restrained. He wants us to be thrown off track by what we're going through, and he wants to continue to take us back into situations that we've already been delivered from.
Right.
And so when we don't allow the forgiveness, the act of forgiveness to take place, it keeps us in a sunken place, in a place where we're not able to really get our bearings.
You got that out today, in a sunken place. The sunken place, yes. And sometimes when we get in that sunken place, it's hard, like you said, to climb out of it. You know, the sunken place is kind of like a depressive state. It's kind of like, well, when you get in a sunken place, it's kind of like you said yesterday, in a rut. You're stuck in a rut. It's hard to get out. So you need to try to move from that sunken place. First of all, you need to try to not get into that sunken place, not get there at all. And you talked about forgiving, you talked about helping, and you talked about taking care.
Yeah, and that part about help, you know, we can't, if we don't take on the ministry of self-help and mm-hmm. self-care, it's very difficult for us to try to extend ourselves to help somebody else.
Amen.
Because many of us, just looking at us from the outside, may appear that everything is going well and that all is well. But if we could get a good look on the inside, we would see that a lot of people are struggling. A lot mm-hmm. of people have not been released from things of their past mm-hmm. and from things that have continued to keep them in that sunken place or in that rut. And we try to live through it, but you know, the resurrection, as I indicated, is what really gives us the winning hand and gives us an opportunity to keep on winning. Because if Jesus died that we might live, if he rose from the dead, then we too can rise. And so we have to always not allow, and I hate it when we get into a one-day event, mm-hmm. and that's the other part of it, because it should be an experience, and the resurrection experience is what gives us a winning hand and a
Absolutely.
Winning attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I was trying to emphasize on yesterday, even though it appeared to be a part two of the Easter Resurrection Sunday. You know, you can preach the resurrection story every Sunday,
yep.
because it should take you to the cross and and it should take you from the cross to the grave, and then from the grave to a newness of life, knowing that Jesus died and it was not in vain. And so we ought not ever feel as if this is the end, this is the final chapter. If you're still breathing, if you're still alive, then God is not finished with you. There's still a work for you to do. And the resurrection, the power of the resurrection is available to you today because of what Jesus was able to do on the cross through our Lord and Savior,
Amen.
Jesus the Christ.
Amen. And are we glad for
I'm
it?
I'm glad about it. I'm excited.
Yes, Lord.
I'm still in resurrection mode. And so that take care part has to do with really, once we get the kind of help for ourselves, once we are released from the whole, I guess, the grip or the trap of the enemy when it comes to unforgiveness. And I just sense, Lady Kim, that a lot of people have not really gotten over some things in their past.
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder and worry about why they are not advancing mm-hmm. the way they should.
Right.
And they see other people moving forward in whatever it is they're doing. They're being blessed and the Lord seems to be favoring them. But many times we are stuck because we have not, we've asked God to forgive us. We've asked people who have hurt us to forgive us, or those we have hurt to forgive us. But many times we don't even forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we don't forgive ourselves, and this can be a conversation that could go on. When we don't forgive ourselves, I believe it hinders what God is trying to release to push us to that winning attitude.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I believe that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to press forward.
Yep, press toward the mark.
Press.
And so the enemy doesn't want us to press through, because a lot of people are still carrying excess baggage that the Lord never intended for them to carry, and the devil is keeping people held in check because they are carrying that unforgiveness in their hearts. We talked about the bait of Satan and did a study on it. That's a powerful book and a powerful reminder of what the enemy will try to do to keep us in that sunken place, in a place of unrepair, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you talked about, too, that on the cross, Jesus demonstrated for us.
That's right.
By saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Absolutely.
So he demonstrated forgiveness right there on the cross. He's saying, don't hold it against them, God, because they don't understand what they're doing.
So that person on the call tonight, Lady Kim, what would you say to them as they perhaps have an unspoken unforgiveness that's hindering them? What would be your word for them tonight?
Well, one thing is, if you've offended somebody and you know that you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, first of all, you need to go to God in prayer.
Okay.
And ask God to release that burden or that bondage from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you harbor unforgiveness, most of the time, like you said, you're hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The other person who has wronged you or who you think has wronged you, they're probably gone on with their business. They're not even thinking about
That's
it.
Right.
But you're
That's
replaying
right.
That act over and over again in your mind. And every time...
You're stuck right there.
Yeah, every time you think about it or relive it, it hurts all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I want to remind you that... unforgiveness hinders the move of God in your life.
Okay.
So first of all, pray and ask God to allow you to move past that unforgiveness,
mm-hmm.
that unforgiven spirit.
Okay.
Sometimes you need to go to that person.
Okay.
You know, and talk to them about that wrong, you know. And if that's not possible, you know, sometimes you just move on with your life,
mm-hmm.
you know? So,
step one is pray about it. Step two is, if you possibly can, go to that person.
Uh-huh.
And if you had a closing step three point, what would it be?
And shout the victory.
Shout out.
Hallelujah.
Shout.
Sister Michelle says the Bible instructs us to lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us.
That's right.
That's right. So we need to lay it aside so that our prayers are not hindered.
That's right. That's right. And I tell you, when sometimes, and I don't want to labor this too long, because sometimes people have stuff even from their childhood and from things that have happened that they have not really come to grips with. And many times it's very difficult for them to advance as adults and as young people, because they have not released that thing that's holding them back and that's occupying space that God never intended for them mm-hmm. to allow to occupy them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to, let's just do this, Lady Kim. Let's just pray a special prayer for those who are struggling with unforgiveness and those who are no doubt trying to overcome and perhaps a bad day or a bad situation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray a mighty release even tonight.
Yes, God.
Someone is just harboring unforgiveness and they're holding on to things in their past that's not allowing them to move forward.
Yeah,
and so we pray now to the Lord that you will release them and that you will strengthen them and encourage them, allow them to believe that the resurrection gives them the winning hand. And so, God, we thank you tonight that you have given us the victory and that we're more than conquerors.
More than conquerors.
And so, God, we too shall come out of the graves that's trying to hold us, the bad Fridays that's trying to hinder us, and we shall move forward into the resurrection experience.
Yes,
so we love you tonight. And for that young person or for that man or that woman on the call tonight, I pray for a mighty release to happen and that they may reckon with you and reckon in their spirit to do exactly what's needed in order that they might move forward in the journey. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And praise God. All right. Amen. Somebody give God some praise.
Amen.
Right there. That was not a part of the study tonight, but I believe somebody received that. If you received it, give God a thumbs up. If you believe it, just give him a hand clap or however you want to express yourself tonight, with some hearts or with some thumbs up.
Yes.
But that's key and that's important. And the bait of Satan is alive and well.
Amen.
Trying to hinder and prevent us from being who God has called us to be. All right, well, we're in the 19th chapter of Joshua. And Lady Kim, there are about 51 verses there. But I think we can kind of summarize some of this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we won't have to spend as much time. And there are only 9 verses in the 20th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we can get through both of those if we don't spend too much time dealing with, you're doing an excellent job in the pronunciations and in the names and all of that. A lot of that is still happening here. And we see that the lots are now being continued. The second lot came forth for Simeon in this 19th chapter. And the next lot that was drawn at Shiloh gave the tribe of Simeon his inheritance within the territory. We're going to see that playing out in those first 9 verses of that 19th chapter. And Judah receives an inheritance, and now they are moving forward in terms of really defining the territory that they have been given, and they are moving in to occupy and build up that which God has established. And they are setting their the foundation. They are setting their mark. They are building up their tribes in this particular chapter. And so you see Simeon coming into play, as well as Judah receiving an inheritance as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's maybe read those first 9 verses, and then we'll see what that has to say, and then we can move on to the next portion and kind of summarize some of it, if you will.
Okay, the first 9 verses of chapter 19.
That's right.
It says, the second allotment of land went to the clan of the tribe of Simeon.
Mm-hmm.
Their homeland was surrounded by Judah's territory. Simeon's homeland included Beersheba, Sheba, Molada, Hazreshula, Bala, Ezem.
Go ahead, Reverend.
El Tad, Bethul.
Take your time, Reverend.
Horamah, Ziklag, Beth Markaboth, Hazar Hassan, Beth Labotha, and I can't pronounce this one, Sharayu.
Put your tongue on that one. Yeah, put your spiritual tongue on that one.
13 towns and their surrounding villages. It also included An Ramon, Ether, and Ashan, 4 towns with their villages, including all the surrounding villages as far as Balathbir, also known as Ramah of Negev. This was the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Simeon.
Okay, all right. Did an excellent job. Come on, give Lady Kim some thumbs up right there. She went right on through there, I tell you.
I try to do it phonetically, you know.
Former
first grade teacher, you know, we have to sound
it out.
That's
right. Great job. Look at the thumbs up and the hearts
thank you.
And we talked about that a few minutes ago, how Simeon now, their tribe is receiving their portion,
mm-hmm.
and they are getting their lot. This is the second lot that came for the tribe of Simeon. And now they are establishing their boundaries, and they are getting everything in place so that their tribe can actually start doing what's necessary in order to be fruitful in the land that they have been given.
Amen.
And now as we move through the 10 through 16, it kind of focuses in on Zebulun.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see that Issachar is going to come into play here, and Asher as well, and Naphtali.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are really still going back, reapportioning and making sure that everyone has received their actual lot and that they are moving forward and developing the territory that is given to them in the land.
Mm-hmm. You said those names good too.
I can say a few of them now, you're the expert. So no. I want to make sure that you don't lose your cutting edge while you're in school, that you just be, you be sharp. That's what we want. So
how many verses would you like?
Let's read down through verse number 16, and let's see if anything jumps out of there that we need to come back and talk about.
The third allotment of land went to the clans of the tribe of Zebulun. The boundary of Zebulun's homeland started at Sarid. From there, it went west, going past Marla, touching the Bethsha, and proceeding to the brook east of Jacoan. And in the other direction, the boundary went east from Shared to the border of Kislaw Tabor, and from there to Deborah, and up to Japheth. Then it continued east to Gathherper, Eth Kazan, and Rimmon, and turned towards Nea. The northern boundary of Zebulun passed Hanathon and ended at the valley of Ephathrael. The towns in these areas included Katah, Naphtali, Shimron, Idalah, and Bethlehem, 12 towns with their surrounding villages. And the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Zebulun included these towns and their surrounding villages.
Okay, so they squared off Zebulun now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have established their territory, and they have called the names, they have called the roll,
mm-hmm.
and made sure that everyone had received their allotments or their proportion for the land and the territory that had already been laid out. And we talked last week about the agricultural skill and the way they went into the land and divided it in such a way that when they pulled lots, they wanted to make sure that it was not something that Joshua had intentionally designed mm-hmm. for someone to have favoritism,
mm-hmm.
but he set up a system that many times still is in operation even today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so the agricultural and even with some people are going to school now to be, I'm trying to think of what the word I want to use, but they are going to school for, you know, how they go out and do the territorial search,
land
surveys and all of that. People go to school and get degrees mm-hmm. for that now.
Mm-hmm.
But these people that Joshua sent out had no degrees, had
mm-hmm.
no skill set. But it gave them instructions,
mm-hmm.
and God directed them in terms of what they were supposed to do.
Amen.
And so that's through verse number 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think from the 17th verse through the 23rd verse, it really deals with Issachar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the fourth lot that came out of Issachar. And instead of describing the boundaries of this tribe, the inspired historians gives a list of this principal cities, and these cities are on the eastern part of the plains.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see that coming out here in these next few verses.
Okay.
And so you want to read that 17 through 23?
Okay. The fourth allotment of land went to the clan of the tribe of Issachar. Its boundaries included the following towns: Jezreel, Kesluth, Shem, Hapharam, Sihon, Anaharta, Rabbit, Kishon, Ebez, Ramah, Ganamin, Enhadaha, and Beth Parza. The boundary also touched Tabor, Shisharazamoth, and Beth Shishmash, ending at the Jordan River, 16 towns with their surrounding villages, and the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Issachar included these towns and their surrounding villages.
All right. So for those of you who are just joining us, Lady Kim is not speaking a foreign language, nor is she speaking in tongues. We're in the 19th chapter of Joshua, and she's going down the list of the people who are inheriting the land, and just finished talking about the allotment, the fourth lot that came to Issachar, and that's verses 17 through 23. But Lady Kim is doing an excellent job. Come on, y'all encourage Lady Kim with some thumbs up and some heart and let her know she's doing a great job here tonight. And the next portion where we'll cover verses 24 through 31 deals with the tribe of Asher. And this is the fifth lot that came out of the tribe of the children of Asher. And this really kind of covers that western boundary, and is tracked from the north to the south through the cities mentioned, as Lady Kim is going to clarify for us in a few minutes, and cite them. And some of this probably is still a little unknown, because they are really moving forward in a rapid pace now. And they're trying to lay names to all of the territories, but some of it may have gotten lost in the, you know, the history of where these people were to reside.
Okay.
So let's read from 24 through 31. We're in the 19th chapter of Joshua.
The fifth allotment of land went to the clan of the tribe of Asher. Its boundaries included these towns: Helkath, Hale, Batin, Ashrach, Al-Meleka, Ahmad, and Mishal. The boundary on the west touched Carmel and, what is this? Shehar Labnah. Then it turned east towards Beth Dagon and ran as far as Zebulun in the valley of Ipath El, going north to Beth Emek and Neil. It then continued north to Kabul, Abaddon, Rehob, Hammon, Cana, and as far as Greater Sidon. Then the boundary turned towards Ramah and the fortress of Tyre, where it turned toward Hasa and came to the Mediterranean Sea. The territory also included Methabel, Akazib, Amma, Epak, and Rehob, 22 towns with their surrounding villages. And the homeland allocated to the clan of the tribe of Asher included these towns and their surrounding villages.
Okay, so they're making the western sweep now, and they are moving from north to south, east to west, mm-hmm. and they are describing the territory and making sure that all of the tribes are completed in terms of their distribution. Mm-hmm. And so the next tribe is the that of Naphtali, and it's really the sixth lot that came out of the children of Israel. And we'll see this taking place in verses 32 through 39, and then it would move on to talk about Dan, mm-hmm. the tribe of Dan, and how they were able to really cement their space and their place in terms of what God had allowed for them to inherit.
Okay.
And so I think most of that, if you want to read it, we can probably just pick up at verse number, the latter part of that, because verses 49 through 51, and then we can jump right into the 20th chapter, because you're just describing the names of those who are in the places, but we know that this was the tribe of Naphtali, mm-hmm. and then Dan was next, mm-hmm. and then now we see at the latter part of the 19th chapter the children of Israel gives an inheritance to Joshua.
Okay.
And so that's what I think would kind of help give us a little clarity as we close out
right.
this particular 19th chapter tonight.
No more angry.
No, you had all kind of hearts and all kind of, go ahead, Lady Kim, and take your time and all of that. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, well, thank you, honey. But we're going to skip down because, like you said, you know, that land, they're just talking about the different territories
right,
and
right.
areas that each tribe was giving.
Right.
Given. So going down to the 49th verse of the 19th chapter, it says, after all the land was divided among the tribes,
mm-hmm.
the Israelites gave a piece of land to Joshua as his allocation.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord had said he could have any town he wanted. He chose Timnah, Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. He rebuilt the town and lived there. These are the territories that Eleazar the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the tribal leaders allocated as grants of land to the tribes of Israel by casting sacred lots in the presence of the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle at Shiloh.
Mm-hmm.
So the division of the land was completed.
Okay. And one of the things I think that we can get a clear sense of as we look at verses 49 through 51 that you just read is that Joshua, really being the leader that he was, he waited till the very last to claim his own inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to make sure that all of the other tribes had received what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gave him what he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And just like his friend Caleb, Joshua really preferred living in the mountainous regions
mm-hmm.
of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was something that they had probably already picked out, so you know how when you go and survey and you look at,
mm-hmm.
Particularly for people who are building in subdivisions and things like that,
mm-hmm.
they probably look at what would be a good site
mm-hmm.
for them and a good place where they would like. Some people like an east-west, you know, a north-south. I prefer an east-west house with the sunlight coming in, sunset, sun, you know, sunshine coming up. The sun, what is the sunshine? No, it's the
sunrise
and the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And but other people have different preference. I like plants and flowers, of course, and so that helps us with what we're trying to do. But other people have different preferences in terms of mm-hmm. where they want to live and how they want to plot out what they want to see. But it's clear here that Caleb and Joshua, they preferred to live in the mountainous regions of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really kind of concludes that 19th chapter. What is a handle that we can take from all of that that you might want to share with us, Lady Kim?
Well, you know, after the assignments were finished, like you said, the Lord will show us how we can serve those in authority over us.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Joshua was indeed in authority.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was the prime example of how he served the people. And now we can serve those in authority over us as well.
Okay, okay.
So it's reciprocal.
Okay. So what does that say to you about how you're going to serve me?
I've been serving you for 40 years.
You don't have to answer that. I just thought I'd throw that in, but no. If we serve each other, it's not about you serving me. And I understand what you were saying, but no, I appreciate that with all of my heart because I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for you, Lady Kim.
Oh, how sweet. And I don't know where I'd be without you.
Well,
like you say, it's a reciprocal thing.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right.
It's so, a 100-100.
That's right.
Not a 50-50.
Right. That's right. That's right. I was going to tell a story about when we first met and when I took you out to the first restaurant, but I'm not going to do that.
No, don't do that because
it gets stranger and stranger every time
you tell it.
I tell it. I know, but we're going to move on to chapter 20.
Please move on to chapter 20 because you're going to get yourself in some trouble.
We're going to move to chapter 20 of Joshua. And here's a very interesting dynamic that's happening here in the 20th chapter
mm-hmm.
because it's after the Lord has revealed to Joshua everything that he needed to do in order to make sure all of the tribes were comfortable. There was still a need that was present that was not overlooked by God. And I think the same thing is true even today. Even after God gives us our inheritance, even after God blesses us with everything that we need in order to be productive, he doesn't forget about those tangibles that are necessary in order for us to be complete. And even though there are only just 9 verses here, it really deals with how the Lord commands the cities of refuge. That would be a great name for a ministry, wouldn't it? The city of refuge, because that speaks volumes in terms of how God was concerned about those who were in need and those who were going through a very difficult time. He wanted to make sure, even though they were in a strange land, they were in the promised land, God wanted to make sure that they would still be able to find refuge in a foreign land.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
That's amazing, isn't it? God will do the same thing for us.
Yes.
We're wondering and we're stressed out and we're trying to figure it out. God has already blessed us and given us an inheritance. But don't forget now, God is a complete God. He's an omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. And he knows the whole matter of what you're going through. And he hadn't forgotten about you. And so God will also give you a city of refuge so that even when you're going through, even when you're struggling, you know that you can find peace in him.
Amen. Somebody said there's a church with that name in her hometown.
Okay.
City of Refuge.
That's a great name.
Yes.
So let's look at these 9 verses and then we'll start to wrap it up tonight. We're in chapter 20. The Lord commands the city of refuge, and then the Lord begins to speak to Joshua, a point out for the cities of refuge, appoint the cities of refuge in this 20th chapter. The first 6 verses really kind of deal with that, because the command here is recorded was given on their going to occupy their allotted settlements. And so these were kind of like the sanctuaries were not temples or altars as in other countries, but the inhabited cities, and the design was not to screen the criminals. So it's going to come out, the criminals, but only to afford protection from the vengeance of deceased relatives until it should have been an assertion whether or not the death had been a result of an accident or monetary possession. And so, see, that element was still in play back then, because people were still trying to figure out how they were going to get an upper hand, how they were going to scheme. And some people were scheming even back then as to how they were going to
get away with murder.
Get away with murder.
Yeah.
And so they had to wait and determine whether the death was an accident or whether or not it was premeditated malice. And so these cities of refuge, they were set up for guidance to take place. And it's almost like an asylum, so to speak, within the walls.
Right.
So that they would have security, and they would also be able to get justice and mercy as a result of what God has set up for them to have. And it's almost like a court kind of system that was put in place during this time.
Right, right. One of the things I read was that the city of refuge was, you know, where men who accidentally killed someone could run and take refuge before the trial. So that's where they could be covered, so to speak, or not bothered, you know, because like
oppressed.
You said, the relatives would try to take revenge.
Yeah.
So if it was an accident, then they could take refuge, or they could, you know, they could live in the city of refuge until that trial period was over.
That's right.
And it was determined that they were innocent or guilty.
That's right. That's right.
So this is, again, in accordance with the Lord's command.
Okay.
And so the people designated 6 cities of refuge for those who killed by mistake.
Okay. So there are only 9 verses there, and we just indicated the first portions of that deals with those that are appointed. Let's maybe read the first six verses, and then we'll close out with the 7 through 9.
Okay. The Lord said to Joshua, "Now tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed Moses. Anyone who kills another person accidentally or and unintentionally can run to one of these cities. Mm-hmm. They will be places of refuge for the relative seeking revenge for the person who was killed. Upon reaching one of these cities, the one who caused the death will appear before the elders at the city gate and mm-hmm. present his case. They must allow him to enter the city and give him a place to live among them. If the relatives of the victim come to avenge the killing, the leaders must not release the slayer to them, for he killed the other person unintentionally and without previous hostility. Mm-hmm. But the slayer must stay in that city and be tried by the local assembly, which will render a judgment. And he must continue to live in that city until the death of the high priest, who was in office at the time of the incident. After that, he is free to return to his own home in a town from which he fled."
Okay, all right. And one of the interesting things that I saw about that verse number 6, until the death of the high priest, his death really was the complete deliverance of that person who ever committed the crime. And normally what would happen, there was a special kind of anointment or anointing that took place. Would I say anointment?
Anointing.
There was a special kind of anointing that took place as the high priest would lay on these people, you know, as he would anoint them. Mm-hmm. And it was a symbol of the Holy Ghost during that particular time until the priest died. And so that's what they were talking about in terms of waiting until the priest died, because that would release them from being under that that particular priest, because he had gone on, you know, and that released them from whatever that crime was that Amen. Had been committed.
Amen.
Yeah.
And aren't we glad we have a high priest?
That's right.
That
That's
has it. Gone before us.
That's right.
He died for
my,
us.
My.
So we have no reason to wait for a priest or someone to die, because Jesus
That's
paid
right.
it all.
He paid it all.
We were all guilty.
That's right.
We are all guilty
Bound
of
guilty.
Our sins. But our high priest has already paid the price
ultimate
for
sacrifice.
Us. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
And so we're in the 20th chapter of Joshua. Lady Kim just finished reading the first six verses. There are only 9 verses. We're going to close out with these last 3 verses, but you'll see the appointed cities that's taking place here. And the Israelites appoint by name the cities of refuge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I saw you jot down the city of refuge. That might help kind of help you with what you're trying to work forward with. I don't know, but I saw you jot that down. I know you don't usually do that unless you... Because, see, if you have a short memory, you need a...
A long pencil.
So you
it just stuck with me. Mm-hmm, that name just kind of leaped in my spirit.
Mm-hmm,
Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and read these last 3 verses, and then we'll get ready to close out.
All right. We're in the 20th chapter of Joshua, verse number 7. The following city, here we go with names again, but that's okay.
All right, it's only 3 verses.
Okay. The following cities were designated as cities of refuge: Kadesh of Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kareth Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
On the east side of the Jordan River, across from Jericho, the following cities were designated: Bezer in the wilderness plain of the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth of Gilead in the territory of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the land of the tribe of Manasseh. These cities were set apart for all the Israelites as well as the foreigners living among them. Anyone who accidentally killed another person could take refuge in one of these cities. In this way, they could escape being killed in revenge prior to standing trial before the local assembly.
Okay. So God has made provisions, and he has made sure that everything is in place, mm-hmm. even after making the allotments to the 12 tribes of Israel. He appoints our 6 cities here, as Lady Kim just read, 3 on the west, and there were 3 on the east of the Jordan. And they were used to be in place for criminal law or to deal with those who had committed a crime or had killed someone. And they would go to these different places in order to receive if it was vindication or if it was incarceration, whatever the case might be, they had an opportunity to take their case somewhere and not be held bound by a savage group that would just decide on their own, mm-hmm. like the Wild Wild West, mm-hmm. in terms of their guilt or innocence. Mm-hmm. But God set in place a city of refuge.
City of refuge.
Now we glad today,
amen.
That he is our refuge.
Amen.
And that he is the one who points us to our victory and knowing that we have someone who's advocating on our behalf.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome, isn't
That's
it?
That's powerful.
Yeah. And you know, I had never thought about it before that they didn't have a police department like we have.
No.
You know, back in the day.
No.
So they had to have some type of way to vindicate people,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, to hold them accountable for their crimes. Because like you said, you know, if you accidentally killed my daughter, I'm going to go kill
you.
You're going to take
the law into your own hands.
Right, right. But even during the time of Moses, you know, they were setting up this system or these cities of refuge in which people could go to until they could be tried,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it was.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be a handle we can hold on to in this as we close out this 20th chapter? Do you have something that you want to share with us as we on that 20th chapter?
The Lord makes a way for his people to come to refuge in him through Christ,
mm-hmm.
who is our righteousness.
Okay.
And we are to cling to him and find hope.
So the Lord makes a way for what?
He makes a way for us to escape, huh? He makes a refuge. He is our refuge.
Yeah, he is our refuge. Mm-hmm.
For his people to come to him.
Come
as
to him.
Refuge.
That's great. That's great. And so we have our hope in Christ. And he is our refuge and he is our peace.
Mm-hmm.
He is our provider.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He is our city of refuge.
Amen.
That's right. And we can be a city of refuge. And I think that speaks volumes to part of what our vision and mission is at ATOP. We seek to nurture a spirit of hope and heal involved people. That deals with making space and place for people to come and feel not feel threatened or not over if they're overbearing, they have a place. And then we also, in doing that, nurturing a spirit of hope and healing, then the word really energizes. Christ is one, of course, who is our hope and our refuge. And we point them in the right direction so that they can get relief from whatever it is they're going through. God is the ultimate judge. We're not trying to judge anybody. But the court systems have cases lined up for days,
mm-hmm.
of people who are out there and they have gotten themselves caught in a bind. But when you know Christ, when
mm-hmm.
you're in Christ,
mm-hmm.
and when you trust him and
mm-hmm.
believe in him and you allow your behavior to match your belief, you can be tried by the true one who is our refuge and not a criminal court system that probably won't be favorable and show the kind of grace that God will.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, that's our study for tonight. We're going to stop right there. Lady Kim, great job again tonight as you made your way through there. And there was a lot of signals there that was trying to stop you, but you kept pressing your way. And so we praise God for that. And next week we'll be in chapter 21. Is that right?
That's right, chapter 21.
And I think chapter 21
is 45 verses.
45 verses. Mm-hmm. And so we should be pretty much where we need to be in terms of moving forward. Is that correct? For next week?
Pretty much.
Okay. What is your paper saying? You might have some
22.
People want to move forward. So 21 and 22
yes.
next week?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. All right. So
I was kind of not.
No, you did a little different, but we can, however you want to roll with it, we can do whichever ones you want to do.
20, all right.
21 through 22. I don't think we're going to be able to get through
that's
all of
that.
That's
a lot of verses.
Yeah, but we'll do our best. But we're getting ready to close this whole book of Joshua out here pretty soon. When you get to chapter 24, that's going to really be bringing it to a close. And by the end of May, we should be through the book of Joshua. And it was just, it was not coincidental, but I believe it was providential that we in the men's group on Sundays, we're studying the 24th chapter of Joshua when he makes a very profound statement and says, as for me and my house,
we're going
to serve the Lord. And so he was telling them to choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, make no mistake about it. That's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. And so hopefully by the end of May, and that's the plan, we'll be closing out this study in Joshua. But we certainly hope that y'all have gathered some insight that will help you in what you're going through. But that city of refuge is our hope and it's our peace. And God is well able to see us through whatever it is
Amen.
We're faced with.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Any prayer requests, ATC?
I don't see any right now, but we do want to lift up several individuals. We want to lift up your first cousin, Sandra Murray,
okay.
In the hospital in Birmingham, Alabama. She had a stroke, and so we're praying for God's healing in her life. Also, I see your nephew, our nephew on, Brother Anthony Hanley. We continue to lift him up in
Absolutely.
Prayer that the Lord strengthen him and he regain all of his movement and activity of
Thank
his
you,
limbs
Lord.
And
Thank
walk
you,
again. Amen. We're lifting up Earl Murray Jr. as he's in the rehabilitation center, your
mm-hmm.
brother. Lifting up Earl as he gets strength. We want to lift up, Sister Jessica says, strength for the Dozer, Williams, and Byrne families.
Okay.
Amen. We're going to lift them up in our prayers. Any others? Any others?
It was good to see Brother Darrell Taylor in service on yesterday.
Yes.
And he was looking good.
Brother
right.
Darrell. He's on tonight,
All
I believe.
Right. Looked like I saw him on earlier. But, there are so many needs, Lady Kim, and we just claim victory over whatever it is you're faced with and whatever it is you're going through. There's another request coming through there. And so we're going to continue to intercede. And we know that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And we have a group of intercessors that pray each Wednesday night and then also on Tuesday mornings at 6 o'clock a.m. And so we believe in the power of prayer. There's power in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing too hard for God. God is our city of refuge, and he will see us through.
Amen. And we want to say thank you also to those who participate in the feeding program also. And we ask God's blessings to be upon ATOP's feeding program.
Absolutely.
We provide meals for a couple of shelters and for our Golden Ministry and for our sick and shut-in
mm-hmm.
of ATOP.
That's right.
And so we thank God for all those who work diligently with the feeding program.
Absolutely. And it's just a joy when we go out and make those deliveries, I tell you. That's ministry. The name of the feeding program is Meals from the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it really reaches the heart when you see the impact in terms of those who are in need. And it's not a it's a for real need. Mm-hmm. And so people are hungry and thirsty, and they are looking for a city of refuge. And so a city of refuge is not just a permanent place. It can be a mobile place where we can go and be that even as we move throughout the community.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Will you close us out then?
Sure. Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our hearts, our minds, and our voices to you in prayer. We ask, oh God, that you continue to be in the midst on tonight. We thank you for your word, oh God, that goes forth. And we ask, oh God, that we see how your word can fit into our lives. We thank you, oh God, that you are our city of refuge, that we take refuge in you because
yes,
you have forgiven us of all unrighteousness.
You
took our sins upon you, oh God, went to the depths of hell and redeemed us, oh God, from all unrighteousness. And we thank you tonight, God. We lift up the Doza, Williams, and Burns families to you, God.
Mm-hmm.
We ask, God, that you would just bless them. Whatever they stand in need of, they need you right now, oh God. God, we lift up the Murray family to you. We lift up Sandra Murray. We lift up Earl Murray Jr. We lift up Anthony Hanley right now, God. They need you tonight,
thank
God.
You, God.
Strengthen them where they're weak and build them up where they're torn down. Oh, God, we need to see a miracle in Sandra's life.
God.
Raise her up off of her
hallelujah.
Bed of affliction, God. Raise Anthony up out of that wheelchair.
Yes, God.
Strengthen Earl Jr.'s legs and body right now, God,
glory
so that
God.
They all might
glory
rise
God.
Up and walk as you have intended them to. We lift up Sister Pat Echols to you, God. Whatever she stands in need of, we ask that you would provide it right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for strengthening Brother Darryl Taylor,
thank
God,
you,
for bringing him
God.
Through
thank
another
God.
Surgery
thank
and
you,
for bringing
God.
Him back into the house of worship
yes,
one
God.
More time.
Yes,
we give
God.
You thanks and praise for his life. We lift up the Yates family tonight, God. Whatever they stand in need of, we ask that you would just bless them tonight, God.
Do it, God.
And most of all, we lift up our ATOP family to you, God. There are many needs in our congregation. There are many needs individually among your people that are not spoken on this at this Bible study time. But you know every need, God, one by one. You know every person because you've even numbered the hairs on our heads. So we thank you tonight, God, that you are a God who can supply and provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise for supplying those needs, oh God. And not only supplying our needs, oh God, you said the cattle of 1,000 hills belongs to us. So we thank you for not only supplying our needs, oh God, but for providing and supplying some of our wants. We give you praise tonight, God. We lift up our pastor to you. Continue to crown his head with wisdom and
yes,
knowledge.
God. Yes, God.
As he follows you, oh God, let us also follow him. Continue to lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Bless us all until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen and praise God. All right. Well, we praise God for each of you tonight, and we hope that you have a blessed rest of the evening and be encouraged. Until next time.
Amen.
We hope that everything goes well for you.
Amen. Bye, everybody. Hope to see you soon.